yo, if you're playing out in Nashville or like make like doing anything in this music business, you're in the 1% and you're rubbing shoulders with the other 1%. Just enjoy the camaraderie of it. And there's going to be a time that like maybe someone moves on and has their family and they move out somewhere else, or like you get a cool gig and it moves. Enjoy the time which we got right now with these people. So again, really trying to be the best at that, because that's when I've like really enjoyed Nashville the most.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 7 of the Nashville Drummers Podcast.
Today we have the good fortune of interviewing Nico Medina. Nico is a well-versed and experienced artist on drum set, hand percussion, touring, production, and programming. In fact, in 2021, just last year, Nico performed 343 shows, including weekly residencies in top-tier clubs on Lower Broadway in Nashville.
Yeah. When we were deciding who we'd be interviewing next, Nico was just an obvious choice. He is, in a word, a workhorse.
Yeah, and it was cool to learn more about his drum corps background. And I knew he did it, but I didn't know, like, it seems to still be a very important part of his identity.
Yeah, and you'll hear in this podcast how being a part of that culture affected his mentality in all things in his music career, as well as his life.
Yeah, I mean, it struck me too, just how like he was just so grateful, you know, just to be in Nashville and to be a part of this community. And it seems like he doesn't ever take anything for granted.
Agreed. As an aside, actually, the most difficult part of these podcasts we've discovered is actually recording these intros. It's pretty natural for us to just sit and talk with other drummers. That part is really easy, but figuring out what we're going to say and how to say it for these little snippets at the beginning and ending, that's proving to be quite challenging.
Yeah, just commenting on what we already did, you know, and just trying to make it cohesive.
And just not to sound like we're morons.
Yeah, which is always difficult. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with you.
Yeah, I sound especially like a moron.
All right, we hope you enjoy.
And like some of like the spots downtown, like if you play, used to be really bad, man. It's HTC 3. They had this fan that went right down on the drummer.
I know.
Right, dude. It'd be summer. And in my cymbal bag, I put a hoodie in there. Cause I'm like, man, it's hot, but it's like in the morning.
In the morning, it was the worst.
It's just cold. And it's just like, man, now I'm sweating.
Dude, I've totally forgot about that until this minute.
They fixed it. They were like, you know, we are making a little bit of money. We can...
Yeah, just a little bit.
We can put a new little wind grate or what, you know, I'm no AC person. But yeah, they fixed it. It's bearable now. It goes like this way and the other way. Forget this is a audio thing. I'm a big hand talker.
So you're good, man.
That's all good.
Yeah, let's just forget the mics are here and just, you know...
We're just hanging.
Just hang and chat.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, this thing is like... the way we do, like he's really good about going through the structures, like having a bunch of questions he has kind of pre-prepared and like keeping us on track. I essentially go kind of freeform and I tend to be derailing.
So that's the word Ethan used too, man. That's
a good balance though.
You know? Yeah, right. I feel like I'm right in between both of y'all, man. Are you Enneagrams? Y'all know about the
Enneagram? I'm a 4.
Four.
Oh, what is that?
Seven. No. Okay.
Seven. Yeah.
What's the hallmark of a seven? What's your like main thing?
I love to jump around from idea to ideas. Like there are times I can be very disciplined, but I do find myself having trouble sticking at one thing for a long period. It's like, man, I'll be super psyched, like in a jazz phase. I'm just like, I'm just like shedding jazz stuff.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, yo, you know what? I love Matt Garska. Mm-hmm. And I love Matt Halpern. And you know what? Yeah. I just want to like work on my double kick stuff.
Yeah. What other Matts are there really? Those are the two Matts you need.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess, I'm sure there are others, but those are the only two.
No offense to any Matts.
Yeah. Wait, so I'm sorry. I'm confused. What is this number thing?
Enneagram? Enneagram, it's kind of a personality, what would you call it? It's not quite
it's like a love language kind of thing? The same idea, like
It's kind of like a vague outline of your characteristics. So everybody could be like, well, you know how you could read a horoscope and be like, well, I identify with this and this and this, and that's how they draw you in. Yep. With Enneagram, it's like everybody has these characteristics, but everybody's also more one way than another. And they have these nine different points, and you kind of land mostly within one. In my case, I'm a four. Our kind of thing is like being terminally unique. You know, I have to do everything differently. My dad.
So how do you find out what you are? Is it just
there's plenty online. Of tests to take online. I'd like to know what you are.
Yeah.
Do you know what your Myers-Briggs are? You happen to know either one?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Okay.
I'm not familiar.
I'm curious what you both are. Sevens though. That's like, they tend to be like the party one,
the
right?
The party one, the social, you enjoy change. I love change. I love change, man. I love keeping up, like...
That's so cool. I never heard someone say that in that context.
Yeah, man, change is good. Change is growth and change. It can be scary, but yeah, like just embracing change is cool. Again, like I grew up in a background, being in Texas, the high schools in Texas, there's just so much funding. So you get exposed to a lot more things. Hmm. Texas has they're really big into the marching band stuff and the drum corps stuff that like everybody wants to strive to be a drum corps. My dad was my high school band director. So my dad's a musician. But he's a Puerto Rican from New York and he plays sax. So his whole thing, like he did the jazz stuff. And I grew up listening to a lot of Latin music and a lot of jazz. And when I was born, he's like, yo, man, I had to make some extra money. So I picked up bass and I just learned how to play blues. And basically he would do kind of like the Broadway thing in Texas. Just like, I'm picking up some bass gigs because like I can do bass and sax. I'm just trying to pull some more money. And so in Texas, like everyone loves Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, all that. Like Chris Layton is one of my favorite drummers.
Yeah.
And that's why I learned a lot of if you play drums, like you gotta play, how's your shuffle?
You're right.
And so I had this unique Texas high school experience that their whole thing was the jazz program. That was, we did essentially Ellington in 2011. So what happens, there's 15 jazz bands throughout the nation that are selected by Jazz at Lincoln Center. So Wynton Marsalis.
Yeah.
And there's, they do like a theme each year. And they're like, hey, we're studying this artist. And so you're like, you're going to pick two of their songs and then another song just like from this list. And everyone submits it. And they take 15. And luckily enough, in 2011, the school I went to, Temple High School, we were selected. So I'm a junior at then. And you spend a week up there just about learning from like, all right, all the drummers, you're going to go hang out with Ali Jackson, who was the drummer at the time. And he's just doing like these master classes. And you're hanging out with 14 other schools. And this, like, yo, you're from Florida, you're from Seattle, you're from where, and it's just like, you dig playing drums too? It's all like, oh, we're all kind of the same. We're all like that interesting person at school that's all like, we got our thing. We love to geek out about it. It's like, oh, okay. And so that was like a big, I was like, wow, there's a lot of people doing some cool stuff. You know, and I think one of the things I love about Nashville is that if you're here, we're already cool. Mm. In the sense of that's something we have in common.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you wanted something more than
we showed up, you know.
Yeah, you showed up. It's all like that again, like, yeah, like y'all were talking with Ethan. You know, it's like I met Ethan like he's been here. Yeah. Like a little bit long. Like I remember when he first got here and was doing the Broadway stuff, and I was like, dude, you're here. There's nothing to worry about. Just show up, be cool. Yeah. And this, like, don't like be fake, but just like, don't be a dick. Treat others how you want to be treated, and just drum like the very best you can drum.
Yeah,
but don't be worried about it. Do you? You don't have to be anybody else. But like, man,
So you're seeing like all these other people. It's like, all right, I'm here. I'm like, cool, let's hang out. And I think something I noticed that I didn't think I was going to get here is that you'll meet like photographers that mm-hmm. are like, yo, I came here to be in Nashville. It's a bigger city. Oh, we're cool. Like, we can geek out about something else. It's like, I can have a friend that's not just a drummer. There's like
yeah, I branching love that, out. Especially.
And it's like, you know, like, what do you do? He's like, oh, you know, I'm a CPA. And it's like, well, you're in a major city and like you're surviving out here. It's like, all right, you're a hoss. Cool. Like that whole mentality is cool. So I think like love and change, like there's a lot of change in this city. There's like there's stuff going on. Yeah. And I enjoy that. I think about it like with Broadway. I play a lot downtown this last year and a half, more than I've ever played down there. The macro's the same. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to go play for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Kind of know, I could guess about 75% of the songs we're going to play.
Right.
Might have some curveballs thrown at you. That's going to be fun. Don't know who's going to be there. Sometimes
you
don't
know. Can you guys play, I Want to Rock Down to Electric Avenue?
Like,
for $100.
You know what? Hold on. He's like, no, I got 50. It's like, 50? Say, hey, like, you remember it? And then the cool thing as a drummer, it's like, up to, dude, if you can make something groove and then you hit the chorus, people are going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, true. Don't be scared. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? It's going to, like, not sound great. It's just music. No one gets hurt. It's not
that's true.
You know, I think, like, especially when you do your first gigs, in certain scenarios, if you don't nail it, it's okay. It's not like we're doing open heart surgery.
I don't want to forget that. It's just music.
Yeah.
Nobody gets hurt.
It's not.
I'm writing that down. That's bad.
That's great. That's what's gotten me. Man, the first couple gigs I was doing downtown, especially, it's not that fun because you don't know the songs yet.
Right. That's.
It's just not fun yet. It's like you feel, it's a cool thing. I've been playing my whole life. Being, like having my dad as a musician, they're like, yo, you started when you were two. There's not a moment where I was like, oh, I play drums. Like I want to be a drummer. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, I play drums and my dad's friends were musicians. So I like wasn't a lifestyle. I was like, oh yeah, Antone, like my dad's best friend. He's like, he makes his living just playing like the coast of Texas. Like he lives there and he's the dude. Everyone is like, he supports a family. I was like, all right, that's like, you can do that. And so I was like, I want to do it all. I want to play the big tours. But I was like, also, there's so much other stuff in between. It's like, I'm wondering, there's people that just make their whole living downtown. I'm like, what? Really? And they're like, yeah, dude.
I didn't realize that was even possible.
Oh, man, the amount of work that there is. Down, and we've come at a time where it's a little bit different. There's a couple people that I've talked to have been here over 10 years. And they're like, yeah, man, you weren't getting hired if you didn't know, like, a backside to, like, a Shenandoah record. Like, hey, you know, like, the B-side to this weird Shenandoah song? I was like, how many Shenandoah songs do you know? Like, I don't know one.
Nope.
I don't even know what that is.
And they're like, dude, that was just be, like, that 90s country. It's pure country down there. Yep. And now that's, like, the commercial side. Brings more work, some of these bars have four bars in itself.
Yeah.
Which, like, you go to a small town in Kentucky, and their whole town has, like—
They have four bars.
Yeah, they have four bars. Yeah, and one of them has live music at the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then, like, these tourists come in, and they're, like, blown away. They're like, whoa, there are so many bars just in, and like everyone has a band and they're pretty good. Like it's like, well, hey, can you play this? This Kenny Chesney song? Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Can you play Electric Avenue? Yeah, let's go for it. Hey, do you know any Motley Crue? Like, wow, you're getting to put on a lot of different hats. The change.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun. And if you find some people that you really enjoy playing with, I've really lucked out this last year. I've gotten for the first time to play with a band that works 4 to 5 nights a week.
Yeah.
Same bass player, same guitar. Like, it's the same group. And we love each other.
Yeah.
We're good friends. Yeah. We know what we're working towards in the sense of downtown. You can, if you play your cards right, you know, you can make some decent money. And so it's like, hey, what are you working towards? Like, I'm trying to save it for a house right now. You know, one of the members in the band just saving up, just got the car last week that he's been working for a couple months.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, man, I'm getting this new car. And I was like, hell yeah. So it's like, hey, can you play Country Girl Shake It for me? $20? Hell yeah. We're going to, it's the third time I've played this song, but it's going towards, like, I know what I'm saving my money towards. Right. Yeah. I know what, it's a team.
I love that. Yeah, you each have your individual background and context, but you're like working towards the same general mission. It sounds like you're kind of in the same boat, right, Nate?
Yeah, yeah,
kind of playing
absolutely
with the same guys.
Yeah, I've got a very, very consistent gig the same way. Yeah. You know, four nights a week with the same group. People that I really enjoy playing with, that I have kind of musical as well as personal trust with.
Yeah.
And that's huge, because you get done playing and it's like, oh, that was a really solid night. And I'm like, and I really like these guys. They're so cool. They're just great human beings.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's probably at least half.
100%. I think, especially, I've been out here 8 years.
Okay, I was going to ask him.
Yeah, I was in Murfreesboro for 4 years. Been in Nashville for the other four. So I've been making a living playing and teaching the last 6 years. Mm. So, but I've heard, like, when I first moved to town, like, you kind of, if don't take one person's opinion in anything, or even like three people. Like, you just, there's so many people here. Just hear what people have to say and just take it with a grain of salt. And, you know, a lot of people can be jaded down there.
Yeah.
And it, you can be jaded in any situation. But if you just look at it for what it's worth, just remember, it's like, hey, we're going to go down to a big tour spot. Be thankful that, hey, they need bands and they want to hear the greatest hits of today and maybe in the 80s or the 70s. Or if you're playing at Florida Georgia Lines Bar, like, you better know some FGL.
Yeah.
Like, or be ready to play the part. That's a thing of, like,
just being prepared is what we hear so often.
Yeah. Don't be scared. It's just music, too. It's just, like, show up with a smile on your face. And it's like, hey, these are, I don't know anybody on stage. Just met everybody. Can we, like, and everyone, like, wow, y'all rehearse? That's such a, like, fun compliment.
I love
of,
that
like,
question, yep.
Dude, we're just out here, like, playing.
Just met him tonight, right?
Just met him tonight. It's like, all right, cool. And if you just remember that, this town's fun, because there's so many opportunities just to play outside of Broadway as well. Like, there's a jazz scene in Nashville. Like, what?
Yeah.
I've been playing with this R&B pop artist. I didn't know that's like a subculture that's quickly growing as well.
Yes. That's true. Which, it's by the way, did Taylor tell you that I came to your show?
I don't think so. Well, didn't he text you or something? Or I know something
he was
happened.
Like, he's like, Dan's playing. Come out. And I was awesome. And I
couldn't
come in.
They wouldn't let you. Oh, you were actually at the door.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let you in.
Wouldn't let me in.
Because vaccine?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man. That's all right. Yeah. We'll be other shows.
Yep. but there was something I was going to say to that. P-Funk's drummer is a buddy of mine, and he said something to me about, he was like, yeah, I was on the phone with Dennis Chambers, which is like, anytime somebody says I was on the phone with Dennis Chambers, like, my brain just kind of melts a little bit.
I hear that a lot of Pearl. That's because...
Right, totally. Yeah, you would.
Not me,
right.
But John, our artist relations, he talks to him, and it's like, oh,
yeah,
okay.
He was on the phone with Dennis. What can I get for you, Dennis?
Closes the door.
But he was like, Dennis was saying to me, I know 1,000 songs. And he means 1,000 fusion songs. He's like, well, at some point, if you know 1,000 songs, like, part for part, you're going to be sweet. Like, he's like, you can't help but do that. Now, we're learning, obviously, a lot of country stuff and not like crazy fusion stuff to play on Broadway. But still, there is carryover. There's like, musical knowledge that gets into your blood. And, like, I'm sure you know this experience of going down there, having a song called that you actually haven't heard ever, never, and you just pull it up and listen for 2 seconds, hear the groove, play through it, and people are like, yeah, that was awesome. Thanks. So pumped you guys knew the song. Like, didn't know it. We just kind of took a swing at it, and we know how a country song goes.
Yeah,
so that's it.
You just had to rely on your musical talent and
right.
Just trust each other.
It gets into your DNA, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
But, there's a formula.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've, like, I think where I've shifted a lot of my mind. Everyone had their own, like, COVID experience. With mine, I kind of took it as, like, man, I got a lot of free time right now. And I jumped in, I started playing bass went back to playing piano. It was like in college. I had to do like at least 4 semesters of playing piano. And I was like, man, it's a skill that at the time, like, I didn't want to do it. But now it's like someone puts a national number chart in front of me mm-hmm. and I'm playing keys up there. It's like, all right, just 1, 4, 5 bridge. We're going to go to 6. What key are we in? All right. Like, I could get through. And just like, all right, I got some time to like get back into that world, pick up some guitar. And man, just doing that, holy cow, my ears opened up so much when I started listening.
Yeah.
Back to this, even just like hearing any contemporary country thing that's on the radio, I'm just like, man, that's some cool guitar parts. You know, just thinking of like, all right, the drums, not really much going on there. It's really like, all the producers these days were like the dudes listening to all like the alt rock stuff when we were in middle school. And like now they're producing it. And it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's like there's like 3 guitar parts and they're like drop D just chugging along. And it's just like, that's cool. But now I think without like having that huge slowdown, I would have still just been drums. And now it's like now going downtown and we're playing. Man, I, like if I'm seeing, I'm like, oh, I like to play with this guy. He plays a telly, and I know he's gonna play a certain way. He's gonna know all this country twang stuff, and oh my gosh, the artistry in that. Or it's like, yo, I'm gonna play with this guy, and he has this modded out badass guitar with his humbuckers, and it just sounds like he punches you in the gut. Well, okay, I know how you're like, you dig all the 80s rock.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And it's just like thinking more like producer wise, drums, where do I fit in? Not like who cares about my licks? Not nobody. Like, especially downtown, man. Yeah. Like, if anything, man, if people stop dancing, like, you're in the way.
Yeah.
Like, yo, you know? And so.
You have to have those backbeat licks, man.
Money grooves, man.
If you're going to do a chop, it better still keep the backbeat going.
Man, Stanley Randolph's the best at that.
Oh, yeah.
He does that thing where he's like, hey, I'm just going to keep the 2 and 4 going. And then, like, he did this little clinic type thing in town. And it was just a bunch of drummers just doing some shedding. And then Stanley Randolph came at the end and did his thing. And it was cool. It was just like, man, that simple concept of like, man, he's playing some notes, but he keeps 2 and 4 the whole time. It's like, well, that's why it sounded cool the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why my grandma would have thought it was cool too, compared to me, how I can dissect it and be like, but what he was doing with that cool hand to foot thing and then how he was going around. And she's like, I don't care. It still went like this.
Right. He attracted the non-drummer listener.
That's the biggest thing. That's the cool thing about playing downtown. Like, one of the things I think about, it's like, all right, I got this group of people. They're from Minnesota. They're from California, they said. Got some Texas people in here. What's up? Y'all are from, like, Alabama. All right, and we're going to play this. We're going to play Fishing in the Dark.
Right.
All right. We got people from all over, younger, older. Can I make and it's a simple beat. I mean, like, that's like, hey, you're in your first drum lesson. It's like, let's learn about some old country. It's like, here's something simple that like, and you're going to play it like maybe 3 times down there a day because it's a great song. All right, let's listen to the other things. What makes it great? Can you make it groove and like make people like move their head, do something? If you're doing that, man, like there's no better shedding that you can get in my opinion. Because then like, all right, if you can make something feel good, even the most boring thing,
yeah, that's the magic.
Then like, yeah, you're gonna work. There's so much work.
I was just listening to, you know, Working Drummer podcast,
mm-hmm.
and they just interviewed Kenny Aronoff, who's one of mm-hmm. you know, the best drummers out there, arguably,
mm-hmm.
right? And he talks about how he like had to fall in love with playing the simplest grooves and like Charlie Watts and Ringo, and like you said, just making the simplest things just sound really good and feel really good, you know.
That's a, I guess, listening to some, Kevin Murphy's a big influence for me. He just tells it how it is. And one of his things is like, man, cause he plays for John Party right now. And he's big into like, especially the social media drumming. He's like, man, there's a balance to it, you know, but at the end of the day, man, like, who's your audience? And the big thing he said, he's like, when you're playing, you got 3 emotions, you're big going for it. When you're playing drums, if they don't want to fight, fuck or dance, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah,
I've never heard that before.
That's great.
That's aggressive. But I was like, yeah, you play drums. I was like, yeah, Yeah, you're right. So,
are you into baseball at all?
Man, from T-ball all the way through senior year of high
Lucky
school.
Guess.
Yeah, like I did the travel league. I love sports. Played basketball, the whole team stuff. Like, yeah. And I relate to it so much in having a band or like being downtown or playing. Show up to a rehearsal, you get called. Hey, we're doing like a whiskey jam or like a bus call type thing. It's like, hey, we're doing three songs. Sometimes like we don't do a rehearsal. Just show up and, hey, who did their homework? It's like, all right, what do I provide for this song? You know, and if I'm thinking like I'm the power forward, I'm the center, I'm the foundation. Yeah. I play offensive line. If I'm the foot, like drums, we're here. Like artist is the quarterback. You know, it's like,
yeah, I love
how
that.
We
it's a team effort. It really
is. And then everyone shows up and does their homework. Sweet. Yeah. And it's like, I started noticing how much I love that in Nashville. I was like, what is that from? I think it's sports growing up. And I miss it.
Yeah, just I like was, when as you were talking earlier about kind of being like that well-rounded listener behind the drums, almost like a producer and director, it thought to me of like being a catcher, you know, in baseball. Mm-hmm. Like the catcher has their position, right? But they have to literally like see the entire field and kind of understand every position, you know,
yeah.
to make the team better. That's what I was just thinking of.
Solid point guard that knows like, yo, I know I got this person that's like, dude, they're solid at this. How can we make this shine? How are we going to work through this? Or just like if I show up to rehearsal, it's like, oh, I've played with you before bass-wise. And I was like, yo, you're not going to play a million notes. That's cool. But I know you play the fattest just pocket right there. All right, cool. We're going to make this work and like who we supporting right now.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big thing growing up doing the drum corps stuff.
Yeah, definitely want to go deep into that.
Yeah.
You were in the Titans drum line.
Did
right?
the Titans drum line?
Yeah, because I kept hearing your name. And it's funny, like as we were thinking of who we would talk to for the first interview this year, and I mean, you guys have already met, right? But I didn't know who you were, but I kept hearing your name over and over. And I'm doing the Titans drum line this year as my first year doing it. Like, I heard your name. I was like, okay, we got to talk to this guy because he's doing a lot of cool stuff and really cool background.
Those guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Those, like, that was talking about love and change and just kind of wanting to do everything. I think that Type 7, growing up, the marching band stuff.
So that
even
was
though,
from Texas?
Yeah. Even though my school, like, the marching band, we did it because you had to, but again, it was more of a jazz.
Were you snare, focus. Tenors?
And I played snare
everything?
Drum.
Okay.
I wish I would have played other things, but I was, like, that stereotypical snare drum is the world, dude. Yeah. I was like, I just want
to
play drum
Every kid
set
wants to play a snare,
and
right?
snare drum. Yeah. That was just it for me. So my dad, again, being a saxophone player and doing the jazz stuff, but he was a band director in Texas, so he knew, he's like, yo, this drum corps stuff, I got to get on this. I got to figure out what it is. And so he would drive the bus he did it in 97, 99, and 04 for the Madison Scouts. He just volunteered. He's like, yo, got a license. And he'd watch rehearsals, figure out this contemporary marching stuff that's going on, take it back to his schools. This is before, like, the internet's super big where you can just YouTube it now.
Right.
And 2004, I'm 10 years old, and he took me. He's like, yo, man, we go out for 2 weeks. Just come on and hang out with me. So I'm on the road with the Madison Scouts, just like, what is this? It's like marching band on steroids. Yeah. And it's just like, what is this? So like 10 years old, I was like, yo, I got to march drum corps. This is what I want to do. Yeah.
I never march personally, but I work in that field now at Pearl, you know, marching, concert, percussion. And like I'm around it a lot, but... So I can't imagine you being 10 years old having that experience.
It blew my mind of just like, what, y'all are just crazy about something?
Yeah.
And again, I saw the team thing and was like, yo, this the snare line, this guy's from Ohio, this guy's from Japan. It's like, all
That's
no
crazy.
One has...
Have you been to a drum corps show before? Or like,
no. Not, no.
You
I'm
should,
not.
Yeah, I think there's a It'll circuit in Tennessee, right?
Yeah,
this year they announced the schedule.
I think they brought back the Murfreesboro show.
I think so, yeah.
I think that made the cut. Cause
I think I saw that.
Last year, of course, they had to make changes. And we're right. like, man, I hope they can bring it back. But I think this is one of the first things that I was like, did the Murfreesboro show.
Dude, you got to go. It's
just we're
like,
not playing,
yeah.
I'll take you, dude. And
Please.
Show you the whole...
It's the whole other world.
Other world.
Yeah.
holy cow. That's just the best way to put it.
It's funny because it's actually something that I'm glad this is coming up in this way. It's something that I'm actively wanting to pursue at some level, because I'm like, there are certain things that you develop in that practice that I just don't think you focus on the same way at all as being a drum set player. 100%. I'd really like to kind of go and pilfer those things and put them in my bag. Like, all right, cool. That's what I want to apply that to the kit. I want to put a microscope on certain things about my hands and yeah.
Yeah. We just talked to Kaylee Moyer and she has, I don't know if she marched, but a similar kind of background with like marching percussion. Walk us through like how you, so you're 10 years old and you're with your dad just touring the country.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, man, this is a thing called drum corps. This is what's going on. I was like, what? And he drove they're different buses. One's like the drum bus, there's the horn bus, there's the color guard, and he was on the drum bus. So I'm like 24/7 with these guys that are constantly just perfecting this 11 and a half minute show. Mm. And it's just drums. And I'm just in, it's athletic. You're running around at high
100%
speed.
100% is a sport. Anyone that argues.
It used to be on ESPN. You know.
Did it really?
Until like 06, they did finals. Like on ESPN, it was like ESPN2.
Wow.
And like that was a thing.
It's funny because like the parents are still as involved, you know, like they're still volunteering and driving the buses.
100%. Like I've learned about like the business side, again, the teamwork, what it takes to run. I marched 2 years, March 2014 with the Madison Scouts and 2015 with the Cadets. Both ran two different ways, and you learned a lot of what to do, maybe what not to do. But at the end of the day, the cook for the corps is just as important as one of the staff members, who is just as important as the lead soloist. Because like without one, like it's, we all got to help each other. Everyone does their part for it to all work.
Yeah.
And if you just remember that going into Nashville especially, or any music town, it's like, what do I bring to the table? It's not about me. All right, showing up, they need me to play drums, and what else can I do?
Yeah.
And a sense of being the day sheets and drum corps. Man, drum corps gave me discipline.
Yeah, yep.
That's, and I do well in disciplined, when I have structure, again, you put it out, and like, all right, I just got to do this, sweet. And cool, and it's like the same thing when I'm with the camp that's, we're doing like a 2 week run, and you got a tour manager who, like, this is their job. And I'm just like, this is where you're staying. This is where you need to be. This is what we're eating. This is what your per diem is. That skill set and just, hey, can you follow the rules and just, like, live? Like, it's very simple. What we do is, like, hey, show up on time, look good, smell good. Like, don't be in the way. Don't be. And it's all like, all right, it's just, like,
in drama. As, like, the bare minimum.
Yeah. And, like, you definitely know the show because you're here. That's like bare, like, hey,
you
come
got the talent.
Yeah, that's what, like, but can you do the other things at a high level? Drum corps taught me that's like, hey, yeah, we're working on the show all day, but it's like, we're still going around the country and there's 150 people. And yo, that's a lot to keep together. And just seeing that's like, all right, if you want to be successful, I got to be able to harness this energy I have of just like, I want to do this. All right, cool. You're going to need some way to like focus it and hone in to still make some steps. So I did the drum corps thing. I aged out. And after that, you're like, well, what do I do?
Yeah.
Now with all this.
Did you have that post age out, like depression, that kind of?
A little bit, just because the year I marched, we were doing super, we're at San Antonio, we won overall and drums. Like, it's between us and SCV to, like, win drums. And I was like, whoa, this could be super cool. And then at the very end, they take the three nights and combine the scores of quarters, semis, and finals.
Mm-hmm.
Or semis, quarters. I'm not sure which one's first. But combine the scores, and whoever gets the best, you know, wins the best brass, best color guard, best drums, best overall. And that was like, yeah, we're going to win best drum line in the world. We're going to win. And every show we'd won, and then it went three different nights. SCV won it, BD won it, and we won it. But overall, with all three scores, Blue Devils won. and up by like 0.175, like very small. And I was crushed. Yeah. Oh my goodness. And I went through like this like couple months of like being sad. And I looked back and I was like, whoa, stop. That's silly. Yeah. Look at this huge thing you did. I met right. these people that I'm still in contact with. I was the only guy from Texas, some dudes from the East Coast. There's 10 people in the snare line. And we're one guy's from Knoxville, one guy was from Louisiana, like all different parts, but yet we came together and did this really cool thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you worked A to Z, but if you don't like enjoy the process, that simple thing, it's like, man, I should be really happy about what happened. I just turned around and looked at that. And through that, I met some people because I went to MTSU. That's what I did my associates back home. Mm. And I was like, all right, you got to go somewhere. My dad being a musician, he's like, you got to go to some sort of music city. You got to. If you want to work as a drummer, man, you got to go to a place where they're hiring. Simple as that. Yep,
got to show up somewhere.
Imagine that.
Yeah. And right. It's all like, so I was like, well, Nashville seems way easier of a transfer personally for me with the Southern hospitality,
sure.
being from Texas, than going to LA where it's like, man, you're going to have to never turn it off. I feel like you're going to yep. work a couple jobs, and in that job, you're working trying to make a connection, and it's just...
It's exhausting, man.
Man, I've been there a couple times. I enjoy it, but whew, it's a different breed, and I respect it.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know what? I'm going to go see what Nashville's about. And
there's a reason I left California. People asked me why I didn't go to LA. I'm like, well, have you been there?
It's like, dude, crazy. It's I can't imagine good. Lugging drums around there. Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare.
Or like New York. I mean, I have friends, and I'm from Albany, New York, and like, you know, friends that are gigging in Brooklyn, and like, it's just
yeah,
such a different lifestyle. Yep. You know,
I don't know how you lug.
I mean, there's work, but yeah, there. it's just different.
Yeah,
the houses are so close to each other.
It's true.
It's like both the coasts. They're like so close, and then like you come here in Nashville, they got basements. And you're like, whoa, Texas, yeah. we don't have basements.
No,
it's like, oh, you can put drums under the ground. And like kind of make your own little studio.
Yeah, we have it really good here. You know,
yeah.
you don't always think about it, but
it's
pretty nice.
Yeah, there's 8 states that surround Tennessee. Bonkers.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you drive 3 hours, you can be in so many different spots. That's why there's so much work here. Texas, man, you drive 6 hours, you're still in Texas. Yeah.
I wanted to bring it back to something really quick. Something just I was purely curious about. You were saying that everyone's role in a drum corps is of equal importance. So I was wondering if in a situation like that, there are fewer overblown egos, or do you have...
And the successful ones,
yeah.
that's what I noticed.
Yeah.
Because I went from one core that was like, again, there's fun, like there's just a great core, but there's one that's like, yo, they fight for top 4 spots every year compared to just making the top 12. And there's 26 groups around, you know, and they all shoot for this thing called finals. They take the top 12. And something I noticed, I was like, well, what's the, there has to be that difference, that A to an A+.
Mm-hmm.
What does it take? And it's just like fine combing, ever just being like, yo, again, the cook is no lower than you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we are all a team right here. Mm-hmm. And it's like, all right, we all showed up to, you know, do our part. And in that, you just kind of find this, like, man, that's addictive, being around that energy. That's just like, oh, man, everyone, I'm here to wake up, be the very best I can be. Cool, no yeah. egos. And that's, I was like, that's what I was, like, excited about when I moved to this town. I was like, I want to be a part of another group that feels like that.
Yeah.
You know, that works on that type of professionals. Like, yo, we are all here. Doing our part, not having like any egos, like that's kind of why you move to a bigger city to do mm-hmm. whatever you're working on. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just want
to yeah.
work with that. But yeah, that's something I'm really glad I took away from that, because a lot of people that shy away from drum corps and the drum set world, like, oh, you can't put them together. It's just, you're going to really like hurt one another. It's like, I guess if you take one and just really try to jam it over there. But like,
right.
I look at it as, okay, I have the ability to go from a very strict, very, hey, there's a technique so we can look the same, playing on a Kevlar head, playing 15 inches to 3 inches, very square rhythms. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm going to play, get on the drum set, play the set of 5As. I have a K-Con on my right. I'm definitely not going to strike that like a marching snare drum. Yeah. You know, yeah, it's like...
creative freedom, obviously.
Yeah, it's like, okay, how would Brian Blade play this, this Ooh, instrument? Yeah. Like, he's one of my biggest influences.
Sorry, who is it?
Brian Blade.
Okay, I'm not familiar.
Oh, man. Jazz guy.
One, that down. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's a dude to...
Is he in town or no?
No, he's one of those dudes that just... Maybe he's in New York. I'm not sure.
I was going to guess New York. I'm not sure where, but the guy played with Josh Redmond, and he's just a absolute beast. His feel is unbelievable. His choices are just everything about the guy is just, he's a freaking beast, monster. Yeah. Love him.
Wow.
His cymbals. He might have like the best sounding cymbals in the world.
Yeah.
I think I'm just like, oh my gosh. It's like... someone created the most perfect symbol.
Even though,
like,
we all buy the same, you know, like, K-Custom packs, whatever it is. But,
yeah, and there's the player there's makes it different. Oh my gosh, yeah. How he can... Just thinking about that, all right. And the swing of that, I think, helped me. I can do both.
Mm-hmm.
And just, yeah. I think that helps with feel and just understanding the instrument more. Again, and it's like, yeah, one can hurt you if you just purely... I looked at the drum set like a marching snare right. drum. It's not going to work.
Right. Yeah.
Do you know, I think of the name Keelan Tobia. You know him?
Yes.
He's a Pearl artist, but he's someone that has, like, I feel like kind of done that multifaceted. Like, he started doing snare and drum core, and now he's doing all this drum set stuff. And I think he's found a really cool way to kind of make this hybrid transition.
I don't know this person.
I'll check him out for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Send me the info. So
yeah.
He will be one of the dudes you look into when you're looking cool in that rudimental world.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing some, like, in high school, I'd watch his YouTube videos of, like, wow, you can play that fast. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the top drummers.
He's like, insane. And then his buddy, Amir Usman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I was just watching him literally this morning as I woke up.
One of my biggest influences, especially with the Ableton stuff.
Is that your alarm clock radio? Is that the music? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching, what's his name? Oliver Branch that he plays with?
Oliver Tree.
Tree. Sorry, Oliver.
I did this tour a couple years ago with this rapper. And we showed up, and it was in Dallas, and it was like a double venue. There's an upstairs and then the main, and we're playing the upstairs, but on the bottom, Oliver Tree. And I was like, what? Like, one of my favorite drummers I see on Instagram that just, he did the drum core stuff, insane quads, oh my gosh.
Yep.
Insane drum set player, like you see how he took his world of rudiments, but he makes it groove. And how he can move around the kit, especially playing quads, you have to, I'm trying to explain this with my words because I'm using my wrist right now, but like, it's not so rigid and it's kind of like a paintbrush type thing. Mm-hmm. And he can do that around the kit and not be so rigid. It's just super cool in his Ableton setup.
Yeah, his fluidity and precision are ridiculous. I love watching him play. I was just, it's funny because this morning, like I said, I woke up. That was the first thing that happened when I was messing on my phone. My wife and I had been at, what's it called? Updown in East Nashville.
Yeah, it's a fun spot.
And they were playing, Oliver and band were playing, and I didn't know who this was at all. And I was just like, this motherfucker in this tiny little hat, man, it just put me over there. We're both like, who the fuck is this? This is hilarious. And there's no sound. They're like, it's just blazing loud in there, like blasting 80s rock. Yeah. So we're like, we have to just guess what's happening. And the drummer's got those giant drumsticks. I'm like, who? I have to know who this is. And then to wake up and have that be the first thing I saw. I'm like, babe, look.
It's the dude.
He's the one. I follow him on Instagram. Like, I was getting all nerdy. And she's like, what are the odds of that? I don't know. Like being struck by lightning. Yeah, for real.
His his whole thing is like he's the MD of that whole group. So I went straight on Instagram that day. I was like, hey, man, I'm playing the same place you're playing, man. Like, can I come by and say hey? He's like, dude, for sure. And I'm like, dude, you're like the dude that got me. I was like, I need to learn Ableton. Look at all this cool stuff I can incorporate with my stuff, with my live playing. Look at how that I can use rudiments to my advantage and just talk. He's like, yeah, man, I run this whole ship. And he was all like, drum corps taught me that. You know, seeing it's like, it's like running a drum. It's just like the logistics. I make the day sheet. I and doing that, he's like, I get to hire my friends. And and I was like, that's super cool. And he's like the back, like band that backs him. It's just tracks, him. They got a guy who does like utility and play keys, guitar. And I think that's it. And then you got Oliver, who's just like the crazy madman genius behind why does this work. He's like a walking meme, but his music is catchy as shit.
Yeah, it is.
But it's like, all right, dude, this is what I work. Like, this is what I do. I MD it, and I get to make a little extra, not just playing drums. And now that's his whole thing. Like, he's constantly putting together bands. And I'm like, get another thing I'm thankful with drum corps, kind of like seeing it's like, all right, seeing what it takes to like, you can take those other skills and assets and like,
yeah.
I mean, there's a reason it works.
You know, yeah, you put in the time, because I'm sure it took you a while and others, it's not like a, as you said, if you try to just force it into that box, yeah, you're probably not going to find that success.
You got to take
But having that
time.
Discipline to, you know, figure it out and see how it could work for you.
You don't have to figure out today. Or that's what tomorrow's for. Like, it's okay if you don't know all the answers. It's like, so I think that's another thing. Like, when I got sad after that drum corps thing, oh, like, oh, we didn't win best drums. Like,
so you came in second?
We came in second.
That's
yeah,
so,
yeah.
That's such crazy. A funny idea.
So, like, these judges.
Oh,
it's
funny. I got second place in a fucking
world
competition. Oh, it's man.
Like, oh, that's so. And it's like, crazy. Yeah. This whole in the middle I've missed. And so now I'm looking at my journey being here 8 years. I've played 47 different states. Played a couple different countries. Last year downtown, I got to work as never worked that much in the sense it's like, all right, I came here and I have my goals and I'm not there yet. Like, you know, I want to do the late night shows. I want to do Good Morning America. I want to have that well established team or camp that like I'm on the road with. But I'm still in Nashville, I'm hanging out with good people. Like, that's the whole part in the middle, because like what happens when you play the Grammys? You go home the next day.
Yeah.
You know what happens when you play the late night show?
I haven't done that yet.
Let me tell you.
Please tell us. Yeah,
no. It's like they all get on the flight the next day and they go back to their next project. You know, their next. Yeah. It's all like, all right, well, you got to enjoy the whole other 23 hours of your life.
Right.
You know, it's like, dude, be so like stoked that you're in Nashville, surrounded by all these. Like, dude, we're like in this cool room with all these drums talking about drums. And
it's like 95 degrees.
But yeah, it is. But, you know, I am thankful it's not freezing. I will take that again. Yeah. Just be sweating. I know y'all are sweating right
My freaking Scandinavian body is like, give me the cold, please.
Then you're going to be on Broadway tonight. I feel bad.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's going to be wonderful.
It's going to be a wonderful time. We're going to make people.
You both are,
yeah. We're going to make people bob their heads and get excited. On a Monday night.
Hell yeah, kick off the week. Yeah.
Way better. I mean, I'm thinking eighth grade Nico, Monday night, I'm like dreading that I have a week of school to go to. And I'm like, oh, I got homework that I definitely didn't do.
Yep.
Now it's like, all right, well, 10 to 2, I'm going to go play what the people want to hear.
Yeah.
Make some money.
Make some money. I won't have to go work at some of the factory work I've had to do, or like the last really big, like really quick temp work I had to do my old truck about like 6 years ago, five years ago, right before I moved up here, my truck's transmission just out. And I'm working and I'm teaching at high school, like drumline stuff, and I can pay my bills, but man, I don't have like an extra $2,500 just laying around, and I need to get around. And I got like a temp place, found a little, and I'm in this warehouse making tortillas. And it's me and six other Hispanic women, and they're like 5'5", don't speak a lot of English. Again, my dad's Puerto Rican, I grew up, I'm like, oh my gosh, you remind me of my grandma. Sweetest ladies.
Yeah.
And they are busting their ass because, yo, I need to make money.
Yeah.
I'm here because I need to put a transmission in my truck. You know, right. I'm here, but I'm like, okay. And at the time, I was playing a gig that was like this like little residency thing at this restaurant, jazz thing. Nothing too excited, but like I'm still paying my bills in cheap Murfreesboro. Holy cow, going to that gig after that, so thankful.
Yeah.
Whoa, so thankful. So it's like, definitely, I gotta have, like, I'm so thankful for those moments.
Yeah.
Got my money, put a transmission in my truck, thank those ladies. But like, I still think about it. I was like, all right, well, maybe I don't wanna go play a double, or maybe I don't wanna go play on a Wednesday night. But damn, that does beat, you know, working in that factory where I was lugging around boxes or bending over because I was almost a foot taller than everyone.
I was going to say, the benches managed their way closer to the tortillas.
Yes, it was like, it was made for their heights. And I was like, this is the closest thing I can drive to. Cause like I had the stick shift, so I just couldn't put it into like upper gear. And I was like, man, this place is 3 minutes from my house.
Yeah.
This gig works out for like, this sucks. I don't want to do it, but if this works out, I can make it work.
Yeah. That's such a great mindset. Just and reminding yourself of where you came from in those moments where, like, maybe you don't want to work a double or, you know,
you're exhausted from playing. Yeah, do you want to go do that? Not necessarily. Yeah. I'd rather hang out in Nashville and do what I came here to do. So if you have that, it's like, dude, every day is a great day.
Love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, sweet.
That's a really, really healthy mindset, man.
Yeah.
And it's easy to forget that stuff. And I've had plenty of jobs before being able to switch into full time. And same for me. I was working at Daddy's Dogs, you know, slinging hot dogs on Broadway and seeing the people do the thing, like walking up with gear in hand. Yeah. I'm like, they're doing it, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just slinging street meat. And this is just like killing me. And I'm like, and hopefully I don't get stabbed.
Yeah.
That'd be cool if I didn't get stabbed tonight. That'd be really dope. I'd like to go home, not to the hospital. And then, yeah.
That's when we met, and that's when, like, it's crazy to see how far you've come from those days, you know?
Well, the weird part is, like, I feel like I've known you forever now. It's like, this is the strangest thing. I'm like, oh, yeah, I kind of don't even remember how it all came together. I'm just like, we're just friends, we've always been friends.
But I bet you if you really, really look back to like where it all began, you might have maybe seen like this kind of like frustrated mindset of just like, fuck, I'm out here selling hot dogs, I don't want to be doing this right now.
Yes.
But then if you look at it now, it's like, I didn't hurt that bad. Like, I'm grateful for it, man. I don't want to go to do it again, but like, sweet. And met this, like, have this great relationship with you two, and then like y'all are doing some cool stuff. So yeah. I'm constantly trying. I don't want to have another moment. Like, I don't want to be 50 and look back at like, man, like when I was like had this great situation of just like in my 20s, just paying my bills, playing, working towards the big gig. You know, we all want that gig. Right. That's like, we love the music and love the people. Until then, it's like, still playing with a bunch of talented people.
Right.
What more can you have? Like, okay, I'm gonna enjoy that, and just like, because if you're not, you could miss something. Right. Well, there's definitely some times I can look back at my early Murfreesboro days where I was like, I could have had a better mindset if I was
not present in that.
Yeah,
in that
just
thing.
Like, darn, why was I sour about? Like, in times were even way simpler. Like, I was living in Murfreesboro, it was like way, way cheaper with all my roommates.
Right.
It's like, all right, dude, I don't want to make that mistake anymore.
Yeah.
You know what? That's I'll have moments on stage when something goes wrong, and I'll have like a little bit of like bitchiness rise in me. And then I'm like, what am I saying or doing?
Yeah.
I get to play drums for a living with people that I actually like. I like them. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. And like then I go, my brain goes to hot dogs. I'm like, I could be doing that again. And even when I was doing that, it was funny because it was at the tail end of doing that when I changed my mindset into, I'm grateful to have this job. I want to get out of it as fast as possible, but I'm grateful to have it, and I want to leverage it into this thing. I'm like, I'm on Broadway. There are people walking by with gear. I started saying, hey, did you just play a show? oh yeah, we just got done over at Redneck Riviera. Oh, right on. Do you ever need a drum sub? Here's my Instagram. And they're like, oh, okay, I'll follow you. Bam. A few months of doing that, and I would start getting a call like every other week. I'm like, oh, it works. All yeah. I had to do was just stop yeah. being lame and stop complaining and just yeah. do the fucking thing.
Yeah. You nailed it, man. It's like you could have, instead of having like your head down like this sucks, you're like, wait, right here. Hey, man, what's up? Yeah. Can you're in the town? It's like just right. it's just all start. The yeah. yeah, and it's like if you look at it like that, it's really not that hard. Right. The whole thing that makes it tough is yourself,
right?
And just your mind is just the perception of others. I don't got anything to prove. I remember like the biggest artist gig I had at the time was with this person, and I remember I was like, oh wow, I just got this gig, and I remember like. My mom used to listen to this dude on the radio and drop me off to school in seventh grade. He had the number one song.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm about to go play with him. I'm like, oh, this is super cool.
Yeah.
And I did this, like, learn 23 songs, showed up, had got the gig because from a buddy. He's like, hey, man, it's tracks. I know you can run tracks. Sweet. Showed up, did like 23 of his songs. This is the first time they've done tracks. There's no rehearsal. We just show up. We met at the airport. I flew in. It's like, yo, what's up? I can tell that, like, oh, things are like, this is not really organized as well. All right, got it. I'm like, I'm running these tracks and I have like a talk back because come to find out, the artist's like, yeah, usually we don't do tracks because we're down a guitar player and I like to vamp things and it's all record stems. So it's like, dude, if you've want to do an 8-bar thing and it's 4, or like you go 1 bar off work completely. So, yeah. Hey, nice to meet you. Here we go. Doing these 3 nights. Jeez. And we only got off once. So I was very happy yeah. about it, very proud about that. But going through that, holy cow, it was a nightmare. But through that gig, the bass player I met got me one of my main gigs that really lifted off my track career, being able to like leverage that and like really put that in my resume. So I'm really grateful for that. But again, at the time I'm playing for like this artist that like, yo, I'm about to go home for Thanksgiving. My aunts and uncles love this person. Like my cousin had one of his songs in her wedding. And I'm like, finally, I've been out here like 5 years and I can go home and like explain to you like, hey, I'm doing this. And they're like, wow. Like that's what you know, yeah, you're kind of looking for. Real, yeah. Holy cow, that was like the worst gig ever.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, and I was like, well, what's really important? Right. You know, who actually has to live with the actions and the decisions I make? I do. Mm. So it's like, all right, what like?
Not your parents or your friends.
Not your parents or your yeah. friends. You don't have to like. You don't have to flex on Instagram and try to spin it a certain. Just like, yo, if you're playing out in Nashville or like make like doing. Anything in this music business, you're in the 1%.
That's true.
You're like,
yeah, I love that.
And you're rubbing shoulders with the other 1%. Just enjoy the camaraderie of it. And there's going to be a time that like maybe someone moves on and has their family and they move out somewhere else, or like you get a cool gig and it moves. Enjoy the time which we got right now with these people. So again, really trying to be the best at that, because that's when I've like really enjoyed Nashville the most. Again, it's like, all right, yeah, again, I'm trying to get that, whatever that big gig is, but like in the process,
yeah,
it's like, all right, playing downtown's fun, or playing like a little showcase thing with a buddy, you know, artist, like, that's fun, cool, go teach a little drumline in, you know, a school district, you know, about 30 minutes down the road through some people I met through Drum Corps, which did the Tennessee Titans drumline, did that whole, like, it's all music. It's all, yeah. like, cool. Just enjoy that whole thing. Yeah, life's good. You know?
Wow. All right, yeah, I'm inspired.
Yeah, this is great.
This is awesome, yeah. It's funny. I mean, I had, you know, a couple of topics I want to touch on, but like, you've just kind of just been hitting them, like, just awesome, just naturally, just like yeah. your Drum Corps thing, of course. Maybe somewhere we could go into next. You already kind of mentioned like the Ableton and running tracks and like
that's
something yeah. I'm kind of trying to do. I feel like we're all sort of, it's kind of been, you know, maybe you're getting a lot of requests this year, like drummers trying to figure that out. Talk about like how that started and maybe who you're playing with and how that's kind of evolved for you.
A buddy of mine who I met through the Drum Corps connection, he was playing some cool gigs. He's like playing Staples Center or like on the road doing a full tour opening up with Brad Paisley, you know, and like flying to all his gigs. And I'm like, dude, cool. Like you, like you're in Nashville and like this is right. I was in my 4 years in Murfreesboro and then get into this house. There's five drummers in the house. So that like, if you want to get some work, move into a house of drummers that already have work. And it's a lot easier to get work right there.
I go crazy. You lose your hearing, but.
Yeah, but you know, that's what the basement's for, man. Got the basement. So he was like, dude, like do the country thing. That's like, you're in a gold mine, Nashville, but really like, gotta know how to run the tracks. And that's when I was like, all right, cool. Just these days, the artists, they have, you hear the song on the radio and there's like four guitar parts. There's a sub bass part. There's a bass part, there's drums, there's percussion, shakers, tambourines, maybe some effects. And when they play the live show, they want it to sound just like that. Mm-hmm. And they only have a budget for drums, guitar, bass, and then the artist. So it's like you're really trying to like do this huge piece as a three-piece. So what they'll do, it's like, hey, we're going to have our have backing tracks. So it's like the other little layers that like, you know, hey, there's eight background vocals. You know, there's not eight of us on stage. So sometimes kind of add some of the layers. Mm-hmm. So a couple of my first gigs, I have SPDX. And they'll, what I would see, one of my first rehearsals running tracks was at Diamond Sound. And he's like, yeah, man, I have the tracks. Just have it on USB. Come up and I'll load it up on your SPDX. Cool. You press play. You can press stop. But if you want to make an adjustment, you're really limited, you know? Or it's like, hey, man, we kind of screwed up. Let's rehearse the solo. No, you got to start from the beginning. And I was like, all right, that's kind of annoying. And then some of these rehearsals, they'd be like, wow, man, the sub is really loud. And that, make a note. And they're like, hey, we're going to turn up that electric guitar part. Make a note. And then they send it to their audio guy, then send it back to me. Then we'd have another rehearsal to make sure the tracks were even. And I was like,
it's got
to
be a better way.
There has to be a better way. And then I see the dudes that are like really doing some cool stuff and they have this computer next to them. And I just start asking them, like, yo, what are you running on it? And they're like, Ableton. And so this cool DAW, again, you get, they send you the stems and you can just, oh, there's this session right there. All right, we got a bass player. Mute that. We don't have three guitar players. We got one though. Keep the other two stems in there and you get it and you build it. Having that at your hand, you just cut out the middleman and you save time.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. You can come in and be like, hey, I can run your stems. Hey, the bass is like the sub is too loud. Joop. I can turn that down right there. And they're like, whoa, I don't have to send it back to my person? Right. No, I got it.
Yep.
Okay. And so this gig that I did back in that Thanksgiving when I was like,
Sorry, just interrupt quick. So did you already know? Like, you already had an audio background? Was that from MTSU? Or did you just kind of teach yourself how to kind of play with everything?
Taught myself how to do... I hung out with some of the audio people. But, man, YouTube, you can find everything.
Yeah.
And just Google it. Just like, if you don't know how to do it, just start typing away in Google some really janky question, how to Ableton, and you'll figure out what you need to do. I just got it, and I read the manual. Type 7 ADD thing, I can get super hyper focused about something. I'm like, you know what, man? I'm really jonesing on this Ableton stuff. I'm going to read the manual. And like for this next week, just like try to geek out as much as I
can. Love that, yeah.
And through that, it's like, okay, I can try to, I think I can do this. And I'm seeing other dudes run their own rigs. I'm finding out people like make a living building people's rigs. Like I did this one gig and she's like, hey, here's my Ableton rig and here's the hard case, here's the audio interface, the track's already in there. And I'm like, whoa, okay, so I have to have a background of how to run it. And the cool thing with Ableton, there's not just one way to do. Some people run it through session view, some people run it through clip view. So again, just like having a little wider background, just again doing some Googling, if someone gives you their session, do you know how to run it? That's a big skill set. But I hit up to do this gig and she had her session. I was like, man, this is going to be good practice for me. Cause she was like, hey, we're going to, in real time, I need you to like double the solo. I need you like, hey, I want to talk in the bridge. Can you elongate that? So in rehearsal, I'm like typing away. She's like, hey, let's take the bridge. Let's add 8 bars. Cool. Copy and paste. Like now yeah. It's like, I moved here to play drums, not play computer. Yeah, like that's like, holy cow. Yeah, but wow.
But what a skill set, as you said. Like that's a valuable and hireable skill. I've met drummers that, like you said, are literally get hired to just set up sessions.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, as I said, I'm still getting into that myself. And I hit up Nico about that even before I think this podcast, and we definitely keep talking about that. But
yeah, we got
it. Yeah, it's yeah.
Ethan just built his. Thanks. I helped Ethan build his rig a little while back. He hit me up, and I was like, "Dude, this is what I think works." And the cool thing with Ethan is that again, he does his research, and so like I think the number one thing when going to someone to like ask, like I've had people like. Hey, can you show me how to run Ableton? Like, yeah, man, I can help you out. And then they'll hit me up and they like ground zero. I haven't even like poked around yet. I'm like, I can't walk you through it. But if it's like, hey, man, I got this thing. It's like, or like this one, I've done some poking and prodding, but I can't figure this out.
Right.
Hell yeah, you're hungry. Yeah, all right, yeah, I can help you out there.
Yeah.
And especially just like with the setup, like, hey, what do I need? Because I was asking somebody, what are you doing, man? That thing looks cool. Like, what are you working on?
That's where I'm at. Because I know it is an investment. It's not cheap gear.
It is not. Oh, my goodness.
So I'm just like, and I'm like, I'm the someone that's going to learn it. I just need to figure out what to actually get, you know, before I invest. Because I'm not playing with a ton of artists where I would. It's the kind of thing where I feel like if I just get it, then maybe that would give me more opportunities, you know?
100%. But
it's still kind of a scary kind of hill to go down. You know?
Jump and the net will appear.
Yeah.
Like the guy I'm named after would tell my dad that all the time. Michael O'Connor, so I'm named after.
Jump and
the net will appear. And my dad, he was always says like, man, I didn't always do that. That's what like my biggest advice to you. And jump going into Nashville, holy cow! Like that, you making the move out, just jump and you'll figure it out. For me, with it is having that SPDX. And then you can say, hey, I'd say everyone needs to start there, which is have an SPDX because if an artist has backing tracks, it's cool if you can like manipulate it and, you know, run the Ableton session. But if enough for them, like, hey, I can send it to you and you can fire them and we can play along to that, start there. And you can build tracks in GarageBand. Like, just taking the audio stems and just lining them up. It's really not
right
that crazy. I mean, with all the drum gear that we deal with, like our minds are capable getting on it. So I just like buy
that's the thing. SPDX, it just works so perfectly. Jump. Like again, back to like sports. Like I feel like drummers are naturally like that catcher position, and we kind of have to double as like, you know, musical director, programmer. But
yeah.
I feel like we all like embrace that role. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes out of necessity, but also we're just like really good at it, and
it's a skill set. I think we naturally. Have and should use.
A blessing and a curse, I guess. I liked how you started things just out of the gate about like change. So I'm wondering what. You've been here, you said 8 years or 10 years?
Eight years out in Tennessee.
Okay.
Doing it. And just the range of work that I've done. I went to MTSU jazz studies, so a good while I was just playing jazz. And like for a good couple years, like that's how I was just with the jazz circle of people. And like, it's funny, this is like the point in my life where I'm playing the loudest. I've never got to play just growing up, my dad being a jazz musician, like I played a lot of clubs or like a lot smaller like venues sometimes, and it's, you know, I'm not gonna Kenny Aronoff it, you know, just like all. So again, being grateful for like what Nashville has to offer, just doing a little bit of all of that,
yeah.
Being malleable I always had teachers just saying that, and that's what they said, like, the people that they saw being successful, the people that didn't get, when you get knocked down, you get back up, or you're not, like, afraid to kind of get jostled around in all the constant change that's going to happen, because there's just so much we can't control.
Yeah.
You know, it's just up here, like,
we've all seen that, away from the drums, of course, you know, like,
100%.
Yeah, being able to be flexible and... As you said, be grateful for what we do have.
And have more than one skill set.
Last year, yeah.
That's the big thing, too. And that was kind of, that came up last episode, too, the idea of skill stacking. Having, you can have, like, incredible skill in one area, and that can take you far sometimes, mm-hmm. but that also requires luck.
Yeah.
But having great skill in two areas is, so much more. It's exponentially more. It's not even close. It's like, well, I'm a really good drummer and I know how to run tracks. I know how to build tracks. I know, I'm like, I can do this from the ground up for you. I'm like, oh, great. Awesome. Hired.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was like starting to see. It's like, man, it's like you're kind of showing up to the little workshop when you're at Swiss Army Knife, who has the most gadgets and who has the most that can help in whatever situation. Mm-hmm. With the gig of Olivia Lenz, her name, where she gave me her track, where she's like, hey, someone built us. I need you to make adjustments to it. And I was like, okay, here we go. And then we went to Europe and it was acoustic, but she still wanted tracks. Like this weird power acoustic thing that's right. In Nashville. So I'm just like, okay. So then I made a separate thing for acoustic, and I had my SPDX, which I had a kick trigger, and I had my Cajon kick pad, and I had this little firecracker snare drum, and I'm running like a shaker, and it's cool, and she's like a bunch of snaps, claps. So I'm playing all that because I want to, and it's just like, all right, it's now I don't have to play drums over that in the verse. I can actually play it where it's acoustic. So I'm just going to mute the perk line, and I'm actually going to play it on the SPDX. Cool thing, the guitar players are on a Kemper. What's that? Well, I dove into guitar a little bit this year and I found out it's like this cool digital thing that they all love. It sounds amazing. So we show up and I just give the sound guy one cable because I was like, man, I'm going to make your life easier. Tracks and my SPDX are all gained in. Here you go. And then there's this Kemper line, which is already matched up into the track. So now that I've shown up and I'm not just like, hey, I play drums.
Right.
And I'm like, hey, man, nice to meet you. This is what we're working with. And he's like, oh, you know a little bit.
You're fully taking control of the situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, I wanted to be able to have a conversation with the sound person or the guitar player or like, yeah, man, what are you running with over there? Like, I geek out to the gear and all that electronic stuff. So I noticed, I was like, oh, this is opening up some doors for me.
Yeah.
Again, that change of mindset or just like constant like I guess the ADD or just like, oh, what's over there? Like
yeah.
But again, being fortunate to have some things earlier in my background, it's like you gotta hone it in. You gotta like,
man, I'm hearing we interviewed Kaylee Moyer as the last guest, as I mentioned, and like we talked a lot about curiosity, right? And it just sounds like kind of what you're talking about, just like it's like, oh, what is that? You know, trying to figure something out and kind of just learning things, mm-hmm. just, you know, because you're so curious.
Yeah. What do you know? A common thread among excellent people. That's
yeah.
Who would have imagined?
Well, this keeps happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
That's one of my favorite things about like. Do you ever listen to Tim Ferriss's podcast?
Mm-mm.
But Tim spends his time interviewing top performers in everything you can think of. So everyone from like Brazilian jiu-jitsu players to you know, financial advisors to whatever, like anything you can imagine. He interviewed Dave Ehrlich.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Okay. I did listen to that. I was like, it sounds familiar. He's like, yes, he did the Dave Ehrlich. Yes.
Right. So his whole thing is, he's like, I want to suss out what the common threads are in top performers. Yeah. And it turns out there's a lot of them. Like there's a lot of things that most top performers in anything do. And so it's no surprise that you, Kaylee, would have those common threads.
Yeah, Ethan. I mean, everybody we've talked to. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about drums. What about, I'm curious, like, just like non-drums. How do you kind of stay healthy?
How do you feel about licorice?
And
licorice.
That's what you were going to say, right, Dan?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Not a licorice fan.
Favorite candy, yeah. Okay.
Candy, man, I would have to say anything gummy. I love gummy bears.
Yeah.
I used to like, I could eat a pack in a day.
What,
I, like,
what's
I was,
your go-to gummy bear brand?
The main dog, the Haribo, how do you say
it? Is it Haribo?
Like, yeah, I think I don't remember that.
It's in the gold bag.
There's a Sour Patch Kids for me.
Oh, dude.
In college, I could have a whole bag of those, like on the car ride home.
Yeah, and just eat. Now I'm like, all right, I can't do that now. Like, it definitely metabolism's like, all right, dude, and you feel like shit. And I'm starting to get on the eating healthy and realizing like, oh man, like if I put better fuel in my body, I can feel better.
Yeah, like your hands don't hurt after a triple, you mean?
Man,
quads?
Really taken.
What, yeah,
man,
what's going on with that?
No, I'm not going
to
do
that. That came up when we talked to Ethan.
Yeah, it's funny.
We were talking about Broadway and triples and quads. He was like, talk to Nico about that. Like,
yeah, I only did that twice. And that's when that's when we met.
Yeah.
And through, I was doing a triple on a Saturday and a quad on a Sunday. And the Saturday one, I was supposed to play like a 10 to 2, 2 to 6, have a break in my 6 to 10. But then the drummer at the stage I was already at didn't show up. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey man, can you play right now? And I was like, well, I got a gig after this and it's right downstairs. It's pretty convenient. Oh, why not? I'll do it. Yeah. And that was wild. Like, man, last year there's times I was just doing, 15, 17 a week. And I was just like, you don't have to do that, but if you're gonna do that, remember, we play drums and it's like a sport. You gotta take care of yourself. I enjoy running. I love playing basketball. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go see the New York Knicks play in a month. Super stoked about that.
Yep.
Man, I'm trying to I guess when it comes to not playing drums, trying to just enjoy the other side of Nashville for the first time. I think just trying to be thankful. Find things to be thankful in. And like with Broadway, something that I'm really thankful for is I can play drums, make money, sleep in my own bed, and not worry as much, not have to worry about financially, like what I'm going to do, what my next move is, or like, hey, am I going to have to take this one off for like a couple weeks to pay the bills, but I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. Or I can like work downtown, couple hours there and there, 4 hours, 8 hours, stay in town, meet people, hang out, make some other friendships out of like be a well-rounded human being. Mm-hmm. Try to do all that. And there's like some cool stuff in Nashville. I went to my first Preds game the other day.
Yeah, like, I went to my second the other day too.
Cool shit, dude.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah, this, yeah.
Man, I think that's something we need to like also enjoy, that like, we've all worked hard and made the jump to come to like a major city like this, and like there's some cool stuff to do. You went to Up Down the other day. Like you were saying, like, I just heard about that place last week. And I was like, what's that? It's like arcade bar. And it's super cool.
Super cool.
And like, you're like the third person to bring it up within like that week. And I was like, all right, a cool little thing in my town that I have. And it's like, Nashville's cool because it's such a big, small city.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that.
It's like, hey, man, you want to meet out there? It's about like 25 minutes. And I'm like, 25 minutes? It's so far.
I know. We're so spoiled.
We're so spoiled, man. Like, that's, you go to crazy. LA or anything, like, or Florida.
It's an hour and a half, but you want to come do it?
Yeah
sure.
Exactly. Nashville will do that to you because everything's so close. But, the city's awesome. Again, there's just so much. There's good people, and there's so much stuff other than country music.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
And it's, it's cool.
Yeah, country's here. I get it. They're here. Christian music's here. All the CCM stuff's made here,
it's
too.
It's not going anywhere, but there's more new music coming in, sure.
That's when I first moved here, a bunch of my friends were like, oh, so you're doing country music now. I'm like, no. No. I know plenty of people out there that aren't doing that. Really? I thought that was all there was. No, did you know that there's like other things too? Like they have restaurants and like healthcare workers and things like that. All kinds of things. Not just country music. It's amazing. They've got cars. I don't know. Bikes even. I don't know. Hats, glasses.
All the things.
Not just country music.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Imagine that.
You want to do the quick questions? I kind of bullshitted one with that.
Yeah, well, yeah, we're kind of leading right into it. We normally just kind of wrap things up with just like very quick questions.
Let's go.
Usually not necessarily drum related.
Hell yeah.
Want to go first?
Sure. Well, I mean, I kind of did, but.
Oh, yeah. Favorite gummy. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I guess I'll go. Favorite restaurant in Nashville right now? Go-to spot?
Oh, my go-to spot?
You could even do a top three, I would say.
Top spot? Yeah. I go to ML Rose a lot.
Yeah.
With my girlfriend. That's like a little local spot we dig.
Well, along those lines, are you into the hot chicken thing or is it overrated? No, okay.
It was like something I didn't really expect to come. Everyone's like, yo, hot chicken. I'm
like I get it.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm like, oh, shit, that hot? And I was like, man, I can't do it. I don't truly do that. Like, I was like, yeah. I enjoy their mild. You know, but it's like, I'm not the dude that's like doing the real hot chicken thing. Like, no. Nah. But I guess ML Rose is probably like probably my place right now, man. They have cool beer.
Yeah.
They have
good burgers. It's a cool vibe. Yeah.
We had
brunch there with Taylor that one time.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I was going to say. Okay, so along those same lines then. Regular fries or sweet potato fries?
Sweet potato fries.
Oh, that was fast, man. You had it before I even finished saying it. You're like, sweet potato
fries. I like to. That's a new thing for me. Like the last, that's like, I didn't come to Nashville and join the sweet potato fry yet.
Yeah.
And someone's like, yeah, you ever had one? I was like, no. And I'm like, whoa, every restaurant is totally different. Look at that. It's not just like, you know, my small hometown, we have a Chili's. You know, I don't get a whole lot of variety there. It's like, man, I got five different spots where I know their sweet potato fries are totally different. Like, I don't know, that's something to be happy about.
Yes.
All right, I got one. If you weren't playing drums, or say, God forbid, you weren't able to, like, physically, what would you be doing? Or what other hobby would you be picking up?
I think about that. A couple of them would have to be, like, I'd have to have that skill. I think it'd be cool to be a tattoo artist. Ooh. I think the macro, micro, like, you go into work, I know I'm going to do some tattoos. I don't know exactly what I'm going to be tattooing. Like, right. I don't know what I'm going to be getting. It's still art.
Yeah,
I think the culture... The hang's cool. I've always dreamed of being in the NBA. I mean, I would.
You got the body, right? You're tall.
man, I'd be a small dude, but like, I'm quick. No. Yeah. So I would. That or.
Favorite NBA player, just quick? Living or not. I mean,
Luka Doncic right now. He plays for the Mavs.
He's big Kobe fan?
Of course.
I see a lot of.
Look into a lot of
and his values.
The athletes of like what makes them successful.
Right.
And it's that they're very hyper focused on it's like the relentless. And you have like you got to know the blend for it with sports and music, you know. You can't be a tyrant. You're not going to get gigs, but you can still be passionate about like showing up and wanting to be the best.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing for me. It's like, all right, okay, we're going to be here like for a Broadway sense like, all right, I'm going to be here for 4 hours. We could dick off and like maybe like half-ass some of it, but like, you know why? You know, I get the chance to like, can I play a gig for 4 hours? Good posture. I'm here for a reason. I'm going to get my reps in. Like, cool thing about us, we don't have to retire. Like, you can play drums if you're super old.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, how can
you got good technique, right?
Yeah, if you're like,
And
okay.
Healthy and posture.
Those videos of Jim Chapin in the hospital, like, Don Pamularo standing over him laughing.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want that. Like, jeez. But looking at these athletes, and I'm like, holy cow, like, they're really taking their body seriously. All right, I want to take from that. Like, I enjoy, again, watching sports and just seeing, like, yo, who's a badass and why?
Yeah.
Especially people that come from, like, small podunk towns. It's like, oh, cool, dude, you're doing the thing because you worked hard. Like, that
people like Dwayne Wade and LeBron James that kind of came from nothing, you know, small neighborhoods.
It's just like watching Dirk Nowitzki come from, like, his home. Like, he was the European dude. And he came in, he had to adapt. And, like, but still he figured out his thing and like was malleable and became one of the greatest shooting big men of all time. And it's like, all right, man, what made him tick? What'd he do? So I dig, like, I enjoy watching sports, playing sports. Those are my video games. That's awesome. What I'll do. I'll play sports. So
have you ever, you know what Masterclass is?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Have you ever?
I haven't done it.
So I had a subscription for a little while, and I watched Steph Curry's. And to me, he's maybe not the greatest player of all time, but he's probably the greatest technical shooter of all time.
For sure.
Well, he passed Ray Allen recently, right?
Yeah.
He has a three-point shooter.
Dude, and he still has years to go.
Yeah, that's scary.
Dude, he's freaking unbelievable. But he does a masterclass, and he explained the way he thinks about shooting. And he's like, when I'm receiving the ball, I don't receive it in a way that I can't instantly shoot. Like, and then he shows game footage. Every time he's receiving the ball, he moves his entire body to get it perfectly in position. So the moment his hands touch the ball, he can shoot. And I'm like, oh my God, that's awesome. I'm like, that inspired me so much. I'm like, I should be that clinical about how I'm playing.
And that goes back to like Dave Ehlich and his whole thing about like posture and maybe I need to study with him. He just put out a new like course or his website.
I have
the
course, man.
I know he's big into that. It's like something that's like overlooked, I feel like.
Especially, dude, I definitely suggest it. Yeah. I jumped into it more never because I would do a triple or a quad. And I'm like, all right, this is already ridiculous enough, but like, gotta do the thing right, you know? And I just noticed like, man, I don't feel as tired. And I can produce a sound. And I think a huge thing that I was fortunate to learn in drum corps, there's that old school rigidness that they had, but this new wave of drum corps that's very Moeller-esque. Mm-hmm. And I got to study with more of those type of teachers, and they talked about the weight of your arm and how you produces the most sound. You know, how can you, if you're relaxed with your arms, that's, you know, that's going to produce such a bigger sound than squeezing and just hitting it hard.
Mm.
Yep. And
is that kind of like the Bill Bachman-esque type thing? Okay.
Another dude. He's a freak.
Okay. Awesome. So, funny story. So, you know, I toured with Virgil Donati. I was his tech. And at some point I was asking him about his technique, and he's like, yeah, I got it all from Rob Carson. I don't know if you know who that is, but he was a snare drum champion. Incredible. He was like, yeah, look up some of Rob's stuff. He even suggested that I try to take lessons with Rob, but Rob doesn't do anything right now. At least not unless you're in person with him. He's like, yeah, I don't do anything online, nothing like that. He was talking about, yeah, dude, no, like go into the drum corps thing. So I started like looking up these videos while we're in the van. I'm like, so what about like this? And I showed him Bill, and he sat there watching the whole video. I was like, so is it like that? And he's like, no, actually, not at all. It's the opposite of that. But you should do that. Like, damn it, Virgil. Just let me get my hopes up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah, I love that. I'm like, oh, so that's what you're doing? No, not even a little bit.
I saw a drum clinic of his when I was like in fifth grade. And what? It was one of those, like, I was like in person.
Bill or Virgil?
Virgil. And it's like the one thing, like I won something, I got this Pearl Firecracker snare drum they raffled away. I still have it.
Over on the left side doing those.
I took it to Europe, used it for this acoustic thing. It sounds fat, or I can like did it on a hip hop thing. It's all the 808. Love. It's like the thing that's like, not only it's cool,
you didn't know
win,
you needed,
but I
right?
got to use it. Yeah. But I saw that clinic and I was like, well, yeah, I got four limbs and like, I can do stuff on my right foot, but I should be able to do it on my left foot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, ooh, there's that discipline. You know, and it's like,
that's all you.
Yeah, man, it's like,
that's my,
yeah.
As C.T. Fletcher would put it, that is my magnificent obsession.
He's always coming into my room here and just, hey, try this, and then do it on your left foot, and then your left hand, and then switch the drums around.
It's all about strengthening that weakest link, man. Whatever part of the chain is going to break first, yeah, that's the one you work on.
Mm-hmm. Cerebral cortex, man. This must be. What, you know about the cerebral cortex?
I mean, I know it exists.
Yeah, like how, like with
tell
the,
us more.
I say that's like, man, if your cerebral cortex must be huge then. So like when you're
that's
practicing
what they say.
So
you know what that means, right?
Let's get a little scientific here. So it's like the average person's like a width of a pencil, and that's the thing that goes from like your brain to like your extremities. Like if I move my right hand and I'm like doing this. So it's going through that. And so when we're playing drums and we're like trying to do the pat the head, rub the belly thing. So if you're having a breakdown in a limb, it's because there's too many cars on the highway. You know, the cerebral cortex trying to put too much information.
Yeah.
So you're practicing, you're like, man, I suck at this. And then you go to bed, and then you wake up the next day, and you're like, whoa, it's a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit easier. It's because the cerebral cortex is one of those parts of your body. It's like a muscle in the sense of like you work out, it gets bigger. The cerebral cortex widens.
Yes.
And they've done these autopsies on violinists, pianists, people who use their limbs, and it can grow to the size of a corn dog.
I was going to say, so, I bet Virgil's is freaking massive because that guy can do anything.
Wow. And it's like when you're reading down a book board and working, it's like, all right, man, the first eight really kicked my ass, but now I'm able to learn these other back eight a little bit faster than I would. And it's like, all right, when you're like, that's the scientific cool thing going on in your body. It's like your cerebral cortex is widening. So like, that's what you're practicing to.
Yeah, so not to overload and just focus on one thing, and then
And
we talked about like literally doing something, practicing, and then taking a nap for 20 minutes.
Yeah,
or like you said, go to just literally like just forget about it, go to sleep, and then you kind of feel refreshed and reset the next day.
Yeah, Andrew Huberman's he explained it on his podcast. It's like your brain, you send those signals electrically when you're doing the thing, you're practicing the thing, and it codes all neurons with hormones, with certain hormones, and then when you sleep, when you rest, then your brain does the actual physiological changes. That's where actual neural adaptation occurs, is when you're at rest. Like,
that's why it's important to sleep. Holy cow.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And that's why people like, I don't know if you follow tennis at all, Roger Federer?
Mm-hmm.
That dude sleeps 10 hours a day. 10 hours. Like, top performer. Best in the world. 10 hours of sleep every day. That's it, man. Work hard, sleep hard.
Mm-hmm. I just bought a new pillow. That was my big investment of this year so far.
Dude, love it.
But they can get expensive.
Yeah, yes, they can.
But I don't sleep for other issues we don't need to talk about, like medical crap, whatever. But so I was like, you know what? I need to get a really good pillow. And like, instead of having like three, you know, I had like three stacked up, all shitty.
Mm-hmm.
This pillow was like almost $100, you know? And like,
Did you get one of the cooling ones?
It's like memory. No, it's not that intense, but it's like memory. It's a curved pillow. I never had that.
Yeah.
And it's much more firm. And I just have one pillow, and I'm already sleeping better. It's great.
I spent like $150 because I was like, I want one of the cooling ones because I run hot.
Yeah.
Again, this is like in here, I'm dying.
Yeah, it's important.
Yeah. It's
all those non-drumming things in our health, especially.
Yeah, like, man, speaking of, I pulled a muscle in my sleep like 2 nights ago. You want to talk really? About getting old, man? What? I've been sleeping on my back like recently. It's a new thing, but like, I'm trying to make this picture. My legs like make a four. My right leg was tucked under, and I had this weighted blanket, and I turned fast, and I was like, oh, and it's like the inside right. Oh my gosh! And now I'm like, man, I'm about to go play for 4 hours. I had to like stretch today because of like, and I was like, man, I got to get better at sleep. Yeah. Sleeping posture. I'm talking about drum posture. I'm like, my sleep posture needs to get better.
Follow the Ehlich way of napping. I'm sure he has a
Ehlich nap, man. I'm gonna buy that course now that you're. I've been thinking about it. That's it. It's done. I'll buy it tonight.
Awesome.
And it's definitely, it just gets you thinking differently. And the best way to go is just go downtown and just think about that. Mm. You know, I haven't even gone through them all yet, and it's just like going through like. Yeah, how he sits. And you're big into like meditation and breathing, and that's his whole.
Yeah, we talk a lot about that.
Don't lift the shoulders. He talks about how the body naturally we're supposed to expand this way. Shoulders keep them down. So when you're playing, like stuff like that, I was like, yo, you can chew on that for easily 4 hours while you're playing.
That's true.
And that's when it's like, oh, I'm shedding down here. So yeah. I'm like, really? But man, it's changed my. To sit on the throne trying to get better at that because like
chill. Yeah, even you just sitting here, you look very comfortable and like upright. I mean, you're a tall figure, but like
trying to get better at it, but also like most kids are not tall enough for me.
Yeah.
Mm. Like I'm only 6 foot. I'm not, but like again, like,
are you only 6 feet?
I'm only 6 foot. Yeah,
really?
It's like, yeah,
I thought you were taller than me. I guess we're the same height.
I don't, it's like
we'll do a comparison afterwards. Yeah.
Did I shrink?
We'll let Instagram decide.
Yeah.
Let the viewers decide.
Like, I'm definitely 6 feet tall, unless I got shorter. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm at that 6 foot spot. But like Yamaha stands, unless they have the extended stick thing. Yeah. Like the ones at Nashville. So when I'm playing downtown, I'm like up, and I got like I can't use a snare stand for a rack. Like it just doesn't go high enough. And so then my hi-hat's like way down here, and I'm like, damn, I wish I played open. It'd be so. But I'm like,
you should play open. It is better.
You'll like it better. It's so much better. But again, just the.
I have used Broadway as my
shedding. Aren't you playing lefty?
I'm fully open handed now.
You're just literally fucking around.
It's like that's all I do now. There are a couple things that are still like, oh, I have to switch to right for that. But actually, everything else feels better lefty now, open handed anyway.
Wow.
It makes sense. I mean, like, why did we cross over the right
hand? You guys need to listen to the Kenny episode. I mean, that guy is just so inspirational. And it's just hilarious. But he talks about, I think it's Hurt So Good on the recording.
Mm.
He's literally playing that open-handed.
Yeah.
But I don't, no one really ever knew that. But he just goes into some of those cool, stories. And, it's all about the feel, you know. And I guess, he did that during a rehearsal. And, one of the studio people could hear the difference.
Mm.
I thought that was really interesting. Literally could hear it just from switching your hands. Especially on, because you can do a lot more of fills, you know. He talks about keeping the left hand going, and then you go down the toms. Versus, if you're just doing toms and having the hi-hat, keeping that pulse.
Yeah.
I don't want to be wrong on the air, but did he do the studio for Don't Stop Believin'? Did he do that?
I don't know. I assumed it was Steve.
Someone sounds like, they did it open-handed.
It's funny because I've actually been thinking about that. I was like, did Steve play that open-handed or was he playing? Because that's a really weird pattern to play cross.
I forgot who I was talking about, and they said it. And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. We were talking about having
old James.
Old James, yeah. We'll fact check it. We'll get back.
Don't want to be wrong.
Well, dude, I know you guys are both at Broadway in a little bit. I'm good if you guys are good. It's been so good getting to know you. And
yeah,
I really appreciate y'all asking. I've been looking forward to this. It's going to, again, something that I know I don't get to do in my small town growing up of hey, man, we got this podcast that we just hang out with other drummers and we just talk about our experiences just because there's not a lot of people in our small towns or where we come from that, again, cool thing Nashville has to offer.
Yeah,
just,
that's how we wanted community. To start it, talk to other drummers. And
so I really appreciate y'all doing this.
Yeah, man.
It's kick ass.
I appreciate it. Absolute pleasure having you on. Where can people find you? Where would you like them to find you?
Nico B. Drummond on Instagram is where I put all my stuff. Nico B. E. D. R. U. M. N. I-N. My mom thought of that.
I love that.
11th grade, I needed a Twitter handle. Back when Twitter was real hot. Yeah, Mom, I need something politics. Cool. She was like, Mom! She's like, Nico B. Drummond. And I was Twitter like, handle. Wow.
Mom! Twitter handle!
Now!
Fuck!
It's like South Park, right?
Yeah, or Wedding Crashers.
Yeah. I've seen that.
That too.
I actually have, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God!
I don't know
you've
me.
Seen it.
Yeah.
My brain. I forgot that you're the non-movie.
Guy. Be with you and the non.
Yes.
There the you dude, go. The guy I'm about to go play with. He loves all the.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the National Drummers Podcast. If you liked it, please consider leaving us a review on the Apple Podcast app.
Also, definitely check us out on Instagram. You can follow us at Nashville Drummers Podcast.
If you're interested in being on the podcast, go ahead and send a message to either Dan or myself, or you can send it directly to the Nashville Drummers page on Instagram, and we will talk to you and review your case, and we'll judge you harshly. Just kidding.